Hello, everybody. My name is Stephanie.
And I'm Genesee.
And you're listening to WTF is Up with Genesee, the podcast where we explore teenage life in the digital era.
In today's episode, we are going to be discussing language because we are learning many of them.
Yes. So the format of this episode, since we don't have anyone other than ourselves to interview, is we have some base questions, I suppose, and then we're just gonna kind of build off of there. So, let's start with the basic question. Genesee, what languages are we learning?
Well, I am learning Spanish and Japanese, and you, Stephanie, what are you learning?
I'm learning German and Spanish as well.
Yeah, we are both learning Spanish in our high school
classes.
I couldn't think of the word. Yeah, high school classes. And we're learning Spanish, German or Japanese on our own.
Yes. So basically how it works is in our school, in our state actually, it's required that you learn a language unless you replace the credits with like a crap ton of other credits. But we started with Spanish in middle school in 7th grade. And we're in 10th. Oh my gosh, I'm in 10th grade.
Yeah.
So we've been studying Spanish for 4 years.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've been telling everyone it's 3 years because I thought I was in 9th grade. Okay, so yeah, so we've been studying Spanish for 4 years. And
yeah, and yeah. I grew up in Florida, so in 1st grade I took a Spanish class, which helped me learn the days of the week before everyone else. But besides that, I was not very ahead.
Yeah, also in my preschool, they taught Spanish, but they had to remove the Spanish program because too many parents were complaining that their children were speaking more Spanish than English. So I wish they kept with it because I really would have liked to have that Spanish foundation. But essentially, you're required to learn middle school, high school for 3 courses, for 3 units or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you can do whatever you want, but
we're going on to college Spanish, which is so exciting.
So exciting. So, yeah, it's one class in our school period day. So it's kind of like having just a math class.
40 minutes a day keeps the confusion away. Just kidding. It really doesn't because it still is confusing sometimes.
Yeah. And at our school, the only options are French or Spanish. So that's why we're learning.
Or Latin.
Oh, yeah. Latin. Whatever. Who cares about that language? So that's why we're learning Japanese and German on our own because they don't provide it at our school.
Yeah, so, Stephanie, why German?
Okay, that's a very hard question to answer, not gonna lie. One thing is, I'm from Germany. That's like the stupid American answer, like, I'm German. But really, I just think it's interesting to explore the region of Germany, and I also want to go to the Norwegian area as well, like Norway, Finland, and all stuff. So I want to travel through Europe. And a good way would be to learn German.
That's true.
Yes. And I also applied for a German study abroad, but I didn't not get in, but I had to stop applying. Not my choice, but I had to stop applying, so I'm trying to keep learning German just because I was gonna go there, but now I'm not, but I still want to go there eventually.
Yeah, still one day.
Yeah, so how about you with Japanese?
Well, so my dad, he studied Japanese when he was in college, and that honestly was just a surprise to me, so that piqued my interest a little more, but the main way I was interested in it was because I used to watch anime quite a bit, and I thought the language was cool. And of course, any person that watches anime kind of has an interest in Japanese, but I've strayed a little bit away from that now, and I'm just learning Japanese so I could experience the not anime culture, we'll say. And yeah, the
kawaii culture?
Yes, muy kawaii. Oh, I just mixed Spanish and Japanese. Muy kawaii. But yeah, the fact that my dad learned it kind of piqued my interest because I was like, wow, you know, that's cool.
Yeah. So, I guess we'll just ask another question. What do you think is the importance of language in learning more languages? Because obviously, English is one of the more popular languages, although mm-hmm. a lot of people say that Mandarin is an up-and-coming language that
really
might take over. I think Spanish is too, but I think Mandarin's really increasing. So, I guess. Why do we need to learn another language when English is already so popular and a lot of countries already speak English?
I think it's the key to becoming a well-rounded person, because that way you can experience other cultures a lot better. Like, you can go to Spain and speak English, but you're gonna get looked at as, like, kind of a dumb tourist sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'd like to be able to go and be respected, too. Like, yeah. I'd still be a tourist, but they'd be like, wow, this tourist knows Spanish. That's cool.
Another part, I think, is when you're learning that vernacular language, you're getting a lot more immersed in the culture. So if you want to go for the beaches in Spain or Greece or something, you can do that and just be a basic tourist with your camera and Hawaiian shirt. However, I want to travel Europe more intensely, kind of like a second home in a way. Like, you go here, you go around America comfortably, around your town. I want to have that same comfort and desire to adventure through Europe. And the best way to do that would be, if you want to make connections with people in that area, that's a great way, is learning their language.
Yeah, I feel that way with Japanese too, because I'd like to spend some time in Japan in my future. And I just think it's really important to understand more languages, because it also looks great on job applications, and it's a really good way to impress people as well.
Yeah, also, and in the United States, that can also help you with your career. Like, Spanish, for example, if you're working in the South or even in the North now, there's a lot of immigrants that are coming in who only know Spanish, and being able to speak both Spanish and English and help them adjust to this culture and way of life and learn English is a very important skill to have.
Yeah, I think so too. So, right. How long have you been studying German for?
German? So, I officially started learning more consistently in last year, I think, in the summer. So, about a year from now, but then I took a break for a while because I thought that learning German and learning Spanish would kind of contradict each other and make it more difficult, which I was wrong. And it actually helps you understand certain grammar topics better, in my opinion. But then I started again when I was applying for my study abroad, so I don't even know how long ago it was. But right now, my Duolingo streak is about 40 days.
Yeah, same.
So it may not seem like a long time, but it is definitely, I'm putting in the work, I guess. We're back into it, which is what's important.
Yeah, as for me, I started getting interested in Japanese, I'd say, 8th grade. That was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that. And I was learning, and I pretty much learned the whole hiragana, which is one of their alphabets. And then I took a long break, which is about a year long. And recently, this year, I've started getting interested again, and Duolingo has definitely helped, along with just a passion and a want, because now I actually sort of have half plans to be in Japan in about 3-ish years.
Yeah, I think one big part about wanting to learn a language is you have to have a reason to use it. So learning a language just to learn a language and be that cool person is a fun thing to do, but you're never going to have the consistency with it. So another question I guess I have is, how did you build the confidence to practice consistently, or I guess more appropriately, the discipline to practice more consistently?
Having the streak feature on Duolingo definitely helps. And along with, I'm currently interested in leaderboards. I know you said that you kind of grew out of it. But I like keeping that streak, getting those lingots, you know?
Lingots?
Is
it lingots?
I don't know.
I always said lingots.
Oh, I always say lingots. Well, you know, you gotta never stop that grind. That's how I like it. And also, I can kind of feel my knowledge deteriorating of, like, memorization of the characters, so I kind of just want to keep that up so I don't forget what each character means.
Yeah, and I'd say for me, it's having a reason, and like we were talking about, a want to go to that place, because if you, again, like I said before, if you just want to learn language to not even talk to someone, to kind of have conversations in your own head or something, I think that almost defeats the purpose. I mean, it's cool, but you're not going to stay consistent with it.
Yeah.
And, or at least I haven't stayed consistent when I just want to learn a language just to learn a language.
And for Spanish, keeping the grades up definitely paid off because we were indicted into the Spanish National Honor Society a few days ago.
That was really fun. I think with Spanish especially, we were kind of forced into that class more or less because it's like it's a required class that you had to take in 7th and 8th grade at least and into high school. I think in the past year though, I've become really more inclined to learning Spanish because before I was like, oh, it's Spanish, just a language, and then German was kind of where my head's at, but learning both is just has this new specialty, I suppose. And also, if you hear any background noise, I deeply apologize. There's some people nearby. We're outside in the public area because it's nice outside and we have to enjoy nature.
They're being very loud getting into their car.
Yeah, just get in the car and leave, buds. But anyways, like I was saying, in the past year, I've just grown so much more inclined. I think because I've also become more inclined to travel the world. And if you're stuck in the U.S. or wherever you live, and you don't really have that urge to travel, learning a language can be fun. But for me personally, I've had so much more passion after wanting to go visit these places. Like, I want to go to South America. I want to go to Europe. And eventually, I want to go to Asia and Africa. And all these things just has helped me want to learn more of languages.
Yeah, I've been to Mexico once. That was when I actually... I started learning Spanish a little bit on my own then, but nothing major, because compared to
where
I am now.
You were very young, too.
Yeah, I must have been, like, 10, maybe. Something like that. But I'm going to Mexico again this summer, so I definitely want to be able to have some conversations with people, you know, local people, because, you know, everyone in Mexico knows Spanish, but a lot of them also know English. I'd like to be able to be the one person that can converse with them out of my family.
Yeah, I just went to Mexico in February, which you know, Genesee, and I went to Cozumel, Mexico, but we were only there for a day because it was like a cruise line thing, so we also went to the Bahamas, and it was just kind of a cool thing to see the signs and be able to read it.
Yeah.
Like, the menu said langosta. I know that means lobster.
Yeah.
Yeah, they spoke English for the most part, though, because we were in the touristy part of Mexico, so I'd like... I wish that I had the opportunity to go deeper into the culture and into the city.
Yeah, I'm going to be spending, sorry, I can't speak, I'm going to be spending a day in Mexico City, so there are some pretty touristy areas, because I'm going to be around an airport, but also, it's Mexico City, so there will be parts that aren't, which will be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am part of French Club as well, which I just like to throw in. I did go to Quebec over
spring.
Did you
say Quebec?
Yes, that's how the fancy
French people
really?
Say it. Is it really? It's not Quebec?
It's Quebec.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I went. I don't take French, and I don't have that big of an interest in learning it, but it's just kind of cool to say that I'm in French Club, too. But I went to Quebec over spring break, and it was kind of a culture shock, too, because all of their signs were, like, in French. And for some reason, I had it in my mind, like, oh, we're in Canada. It's not going to be in French.
Yeah, that's one thing.
But it was very much, like, French. And I had to ask all of my friends, like, how do I say I want this? So I've learned some basic stuff in French. But, you know, I think Spanish is definitely more important than French if you're going to try and learn a second language. That's my opinion, but also it's a pretty popular opinion.
I think Spanish is a good starting point if you want to learn a language, but if you want to learn a specific language more than Spanish, just start with that language. But if you want to learn a bunch of languages, Spanish is a good starting point because there's a lot of similarities to English that helps, I think, quicken your learning and make it more comprehensive. And then I think a big part of learning a language is you have to feel like you're making progress. Because it's easy to get frustrated with a language, but I think Spanish is a good language that, if you have the right teacher and stuff, it can definitely be manageable.
Yeah, it's crazy, like, how much progress I've noticed, because there are so many tenses, and you don't think about it when you're talking in English. Like, you don't think about it, but I remember when I logged onto my Duolingo account about 40 days ago, and I realized, like, how much I knew then versus how much I know now, because I can just test out of all the levels now that I had no idea what was going on a few years ago.
So having the school curriculum, I think it's beneficial in that you're consistently learning, But it's a much slower pace than if you were learning at your own rate, I think.
I agree, yeah.
But I think that can also be beneficial in some ways, because with languages, vocabulary is memorization, and that mm-hmm. just takes memorizing, repetitive practice. And especially with programs like Duolingo, you can really easily get through one course, and then you'll forget it the next day or something, and you're like, but I knew all these words, because it's short-term memory. So having the Spanish class versus teaching yourself has helped with keeping consistent and putting that those vocabulary terms from short-term memory into long-term memory. Mm-hmm. Also, with certain grammar topics, you just have to spend time in them. Like, you can't just start using a grammar topic all of a sudden. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that definitely is difficult. So, speaking of difficult things, what are some of the biggest struggles you've encountered with either Spanish or German?
So German, I think right now, it's definitely the sentence structure slash grammar, because I'm still very confused on it, because I'm very beginner in German, because I haven't really gone too deep before, and it's very difficult, so I have to get a bunch of different, I found a variety of resources to try and help me, but I think I need a teacher, or a tutor or something. I'm trying to find more of those. And for Spanish, I don't even know. I think it would be listening, because I can barely listen in English. I just get so distracted. I can't. It's so distracting. But then with Spanish, they talk really fast.
I know.
They talk
crazy.
So fast. So I think my biggest difficulty would be talking and listening, because it's a lot less fluid, I think, than it could be.
Yeah, I agree with the talking and listening thing, and also I have trouble memorizing all the tenses, which I'm getting better at, but it's like, oh my god, there are so many tenses. And as for Japanese, I think struggle is definitely sentence structure for me too, and also saying the Japanese words with the right accent, because I don't want to sound like some stupid American. I don't want to like offend people. So I try my best. Like, I understand how to say it, but it's just difficult because I don't want to be offensive.
Yeah. How I feel too. And for Spanish, another one would be what was it? So when you're reading Spanish, I think personally I can read Spanish pretty easily, because sometimes I'm reading it just as Spanish, but also sometimes I'm translating it into English, which I think with more practice I'll be able to just read Spanish and understand what it means. But reading and replying and writing, I can do that so fluidly. But then mm-hmm. for some reason with speaking and listening, it just, there's a wall.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you read something, you can, like, take your time and read it. But when you hear someone, it's like, oh, what?
Yeah,
like,
what did you say?
Like, I heard Yamar, that's all I know.
Yeah. Another thing that I think is a big problem is, in our school, since talking is, public speaking is a very difficult thing for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And adding another language just makes it all the more worse. So then having conversations is the most anxiety-filled topic in Spanish for the majority of students. So we don't get enough speaking practice and listening practice, because it makes people uncomfortable, which I think is a problem, like, with the curriculum.
Yeah, for sure. I know it makes me very nervous, but I think with enough practice, I would eventually not be nervous.
Like,
for example, we had our Spanish speaking final, and oh my gosh, like, I'm so nervous. And if we maybe did speaking, like, every few days in class, it wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, so I think that's just something that is a give and take with a classroom setting, because they're in America, you're appeasing and pleasing the students. Your students, they want to get A's. You're going to help them get an A, but you're maybe missing out some on the education points that need to be talked about.
Yeah, that's very true.
Because a lot of teachers go easy on, at least at our school, they kind of go easy on us.
Yeah. So,
you can ask a question. I don't actually have one.
I was just going to say, how often do we practice, which I think is pretty obvious so far, but I'll just kind of state it anyway.
Yeah, so I do at least 10 to 15 minutes of German every day. Spanish, I'm doing it at least 5 times a week. I'm not necessarily doing 7 days, because I don't do Duolingo for Spanish every day. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Pretty much the exact same. I try and test out of skills for Spanish, because a lot of them are easy right now, so I feel like I'm not learning very much new Spanish on my own, just kind of reviewing, but I'm learning new in classes. And as for Japanese, it's pretty much always new, so
mm-hmm.
that's about 10 to 15 minutes a day as well.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about how we learn, because obviously learning in a classroom is very different than learning on your own. So let's talk about the resources we use, and yeah, let's go with that. You can go first. All right, sorry for that little malfunction there. I accidentally stopped one of the recordings, which, oopsies. All right, yeah. So where we left off was how you learn.
Yes, okay, so for Japanese, I obviously use Duolingo. I've already mentioned that. I use an app called Infinite Japanese, which is pretty much just one game where you learn vocabulary. It's a good game, though. I use Kana Drill, not very much, but that's to help learn the katakana, which I have yet to fully learn. I use scripts, which helps you learn how to write the characters, because apparently there's a specific order that you're supposed to do all the different lines in, which I don't understand how people would know if you're doing it or not, but I guess I should try and learn it anyway. And then I use Quizlet sometimes, I guess. Not very often at all. And then I have a book, which I used a lot originally. It's just called Japanese for Beginners, I think. And it teaches you every character in the hiragana and katakana and some basic vocabulary and, like, names of, like, cities and stuff.
All right, for German, I've used Duolingo. I have a book on grammar by McGraw-Hill. It's just, like, grammar book or whatever. I use Infinite German, which, again, is the same kind of game concept. I use Drops, which is another vocabulary-based game oriented app. I use Learn German, which I don't use as much. It just tells you, allows you to hear the vocabulary, and it gives you kind of multiple choice kind of thing. It's kind of more for kids, I think, but I use it. So, and then there's one called Mango, which I haven't used as much, but I probably should. It's audio and speaking audio, I think. Yeah, so it's like you're integrating yourself more with the listening aspect. And I also use Coffee Break German, which is a podcast where you can listen to a guy who's learning German from a German speaker, and it's slow, and they go over basic conversation.
Oh. Yeah, I actually left out something. I use an app that's just called Japanese, and it's an online dictionary, and you can look up any word, and it also tells you grammar and sentence structure, but the cool thing is that it's all offline, so you don't need Wi-Fi or data to access
it.
Oh,
yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. And also, Scripts and Drops are made by the same company. I don't really like Drops for some reason. I don't know. I just don't like it. But Scripts is good.
Yeah. Okay. And for Spanish, obviously, we're learning in class, but I also use Duolingo, Kanhugamos, which you need your school, I think, to have an account, or you might be able to pay for it, but ours is through our class, so we have an account through there. That one's great for grammar topics, verb, conjugation, and there is some vocabulary, but we're not on a specific curriculum, I don't think, at least she hasn't told us what curriculum we're kind of in, so I don't know what vocabulary we're actually learning or if they're just made up a bunch of lists.
I feel like she made up stuff, I
honestly
swear.
She probably did, but I'm not complaining because I like the vocabulary.
Yeah.
But it's not by a specific book anymore, whereas we used to be. News in Slow Spanish. I think it's a podcast, but I also have the app for it, which just gives you a brief news story in slow Spanish, obviously. I usually read along with it, but I need to practice listening. And also, I have the free version, so I get, like, it's, like, 2 minutes once a week. I use Quizlet for vocabulary a lot for Spanish. I use Word Reference, which is a great resource for learning. It's, again, yeah, like a translation-type website. And you're not translating whole sentences. You're looking at specific words. And then you find out if you're using the right type of word. Like, for example, in English, bat, like a baseball bat, is different than the animal bat. And if you're looking on Google Translate, they're not really paying attention to the contextual differences. So Word Reference is a good resource for that. And also, I think Spanish Dict, which I personally like better, SpanishDict.com, is you can do individual word translations or whole sentence translations, and they explain the reasoning behind each word.
I think I just don't like Spanish Dict because I was taught not to like it by my old Spanish teacher.
Really?
Yeah, in 9th grade, Mr. Banis, he really didn't like it, and he only wanted us to use Word Reference, so I think I have some sort of, like...
No one's ever told, like, none of my teachers have ever said not to use it.
Really?
But they've never said to use it, so you're supposed to use Word Reference, But then I just kind of sneak on Spanish Day.
Yeah, I mean, it is a good website. Deep down, I know that, but...
Deep down?
I'm taught to hate it. Ugh, against my will.
Yeah, and then HelloTalk, which we both use. Oh, I got you on it.
Yes,
got you
on did.
It. It's so...
It's okay. Great.
So when you're... you can use HelloTalk at any level of learning, but personally, I think if you can hold a basic conversation, or if you think you can say a few sentences in Spanish... or anything, just any type of learning, you can get HelloTalk. And basically the premise of this app, it's kind of like a Facebook slash messaging slash Tinder, but not Tinder. Like in the fact that you're messaging people you don't necessarily know personally. So basically you input your language that you're fluent in, and then you put in how fluent you are, which should be max. And then you put in your language that you want to learn, and you put your fluency scale on that. And then it matches in your age, so then you're not talking to creeps, most likely. Then you are, they give you a whole list of people that match you, in a sense that the language they're not fluent in is the one you are fluent in, and the one they are fluent in is the one you're not. So the people I'm talking to are from Colombia, Spain, Paraguay, Mexico, Colombia.
Venezuela.
Yeah. So you get to talk to them, and the premise of the app is everyone's trying to learn this, a language. So you're having genuine conversations either in their natural language or our natural language, and you're having conversations, and it shows you firsthand how to talk. It gives you confidence to talk with people from the other culture over text, but you can also do video call. I feel like this is a big ad or something.
I know. We should be getting paid to say this.
It's just so good. And it's 1:30. Thank you, computer, for that. I just lost my train of thought. You can pick up your Genesis.
All right. The way the app works is pretty much you talk in Spanish most of the time, or we talk in Spanish, and the people that are fluent in Spanish will reply in English, and you guys are... Oh, there's an ant on my leg. Okay. So you're given the option to correct their sentences in a really nice way where you can just sort of hold it down and then fix whatever they did wrong, and they can do the same to you.
Yeah, it's very positive, constructive criticism.
Yeah, and I really like how easy it is to talk to these people, too. Like, with this one guy, Juan, I'm literally just talking about The Flash with him, which I haven't even watched in 2 years, but we're still talking about it. But it's just so interesting because I'm talking in Spanish and he's talking in English. And, of course, you'll run into some strange people. Like, for example, one... girl told me in Spanish though that she is sorry if she falls asleep, she just got hit by a car.
Yeah, I was also flirted with by someone who isn't fluent in Spanish, and that's the language I'm trying to learn, so I just didn't get the point of that.
Yeah, and you'll still get left on read. Like, I texted Sophia, hi, I said this in Spanish, of course, I said, hi, I can talk in Spanish a little, or I can talk in English. She left me on read for a few days, or 2 days now.
Jerk.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Shout out to you. We don't like you.
No, yeah, Sophia. Sophia from...
Oh, yeah, but you have nowhere. Genuine conversations where versus speaking to just your Spanish teacher, you're, at least in our class, we're restrained to specific prompts based on our vocabulary that we're learning. Whereas this, they don't know what vocabulary you do or do not know. So they're just talking naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have the option to translate. You get 10 or 15 free translates per day, which is really useful. But then it also, you can test yourself and see what you know, or you may not know everything. You can ask questions. There's just so much potential with HelloTalk, so you should get it if you're really serious about learning a language. And everyone's so helpful, and then you get to be helpful, so then it's like a perfect exchange, the perfect little world.
And then you make friends, and you're like, oh my gosh, I have friends that are all the way around the world.
Yeah, except we're not that close
yet. Yeah, except
we just got it like 2 days ago.
I know, but I feel so close with
Juan. I feel so close with Luis. Shout out to Luis. He probably is like, what the
heck? I know. Luis isn't even listening to this.
Yeah, honestly. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to your mid-podcast news segment. I'm Stephanie. And Genesee is not here today, which leads me right into my first news point. Genesee is in Mexico right now. She's coming back today, actually, and we're all very jealous of her. She's on a family trip, and I wish I was there. I'm very disappointed that you didn't take me, despite me not technically being in your family, Genesee. That's just a little thing there. She also got to see a sea turtle, which I'm also very jealous about. So let's move on from this topic before I think about it too much. All right, Burger King. Burger King last week, or earlier this week sometime, just released their Impossible Meat Whopper at all of their locations. So if you don't know what Impossible Meat is, it's basically vegan meat. Vegan meat, so it's not meat. So it's not animals, engineered to taste closely and similarly to meat. The Whopper has the same amount of calories, saturated fat, and carbs, I believe. I think it has a little bit more carbs. So don't think this is necessarily the healthier option, but it is an option for those who are vegetarian or vegan. If you're vegan, take off the mayo. Next up, we're going to update you on Tana Mojo's and Jake Paul's wedding. Oh boy, there is a lot of controversy surrounding this wedding. So let's start with the first thing. The ring was $125 and clearly shows that there's a lack of legitimacy in this wedding, added with the fact that they do not have a marriage license. Oh, that's great. Also, there were staged fights and the ceremony only lasted 10 minutes. It ended 30 minutes earlier than expected because, according to Jake Paul, they were kicked out of the residence that they were having the wedding in by the owner, but based on people that actually worked there, they said that they weren't kicked out, they just left. So that kind of comes to believe that this was a staged wedding altogether, especially with the no marriage license. Also, for those of the fans who live streamed and watched the wedding live, well, they bought tickets for this live stream, and it was a terrible quality, and people didn't get their refunds. So I guess we have a smaller, low-key version of TanaCon, with the addition of Jake Paul. I don't know, 2-for-1 TanaCon mess with a wedding. I'd say that's pretty good. Now let's get on to some sadder news. On Instagram, they purged and deleted a ton of meme accounts without explanation. The reasoning behind this, we are still looking into, and hopefully we can update you next podcast episode. And for our last bit of news, Taylor Swift is releasing her new album, Lover, I believe it's titled, August 23rd. And if you do the math, that is August, which is the 8th month, 2 plus 3, that's 13, her favorite number. Wow, how cool is that? This album is supposed to be her best one yet. It's her favorite one personally. It's 18 tracks long, which is her longest album yet. And I must say it's pretty long if I do say so myself. And a lot of people are speculating this might be her coming out album, possibly, but it is going to have a lot to do with LGBTQ pride. She is a big supporter of the LGBT community and has donated millions of dollars to lesbian and other LGBTQ charities and foundations, and has also started a large petition for increasing the gay rights in for the LGBT community in, I think, Tennessee, I believe. So we're all super excited to listen to Taylor Swift's new album, and we're all really excited. So I hope everyone liked the news to this week, and next time, Jesse, please don't be in Mexico seeing sea turtles. All right, and just before I get off, I'm just going to plug our Instagram and email. For our Instagram, it is WTFGENZ, that's WTFGenZ. Give us a follow over there, and you'll see updates relating to the podcast, exclusive surveys, so you can take part in possibly coming up with future podcast episode ideas. And for our email, on this email, you can give us any suggestions, recommendations for the podcast, or if you think you're worthy enough of possibly being interviewed for the podcast, let us know over there on that email. The email is WTFGenZpodcast, so that's WTFGENZpodcast@gmail.com. So let's get back into the podcast now, and I hope you all enjoy the rest of it. And thank you, and goodbye. Okay, so I just want to touch on the topic of why it's important to get a variety of learning methods and tools.
Yeah.
We talked about how many different apps there are, but not every app is weighted equal. A lot of people like Duolingo, but if you're learning just on Duolingo, you're missing out on a lot. I'm just going to say this now. Duolingo is great for vocabulary and great for basic sentence structure. And there's a lot that you can learn from it. But it's also not giving you intuitive as it can possibly be. For example, like, learning grammar is the hardest thing. Like, they give you little texts about why certain things are.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't help.
On Duolingo, it helps a little bit, but then you're like, no, I just memorized that and just, no.
Yeah.
So having different sources of learning is very important to use. Like drops, for example, you're learning different vocabulary that you didn't, like that Duolingo put later on the tree. It's really awkward. Someone just opened a door and just stared at us, and we're just recording a podcast outside their property. But oops, that was
he
so
just
weird.
Just looked up and stared straight at us, and then went
so
back
weird.
Inside.
Okay. Anyways, train of thought. It's important to get a variety of things because you don't know what you should be talking about. Like Duolingo, for example. Certain topics are way far down on the tree. Like in Spanish, we learned the preterite in our second or third year of Spanish. Which is the past tense, if you don't know. It's one of the past tenses that you can have in Spanish. But on Duolingo, it's really far down, and I haven't even gotten there yet.
Yeah, and it's something that we know.
And,
so.
And like, I think grammar is an important topic. Like, knowing vocabulary is one thing, but being able to switch tenses just really adds an extra layer that really adds a lot more than you can say in your conversations.
Yeah, and I think the important thing, again, about HelloTalk is that it's very submersive. So as for Duolingo, you can see what the meanings are by just hovering your mouse over it. But with, like, HelloTalk, you can't talk to them in English. You can't be like, wait, I don't know how to explain it, but anyway, I know how to explain it. You just, they don't know English, so you have to talk in Spanish.
Exactly.
And you could use a translation if you need to, but then you run out if you use them too much. So
exactly.
You gotta learn. You're practically forced to learn.
Which is just so cool, and it's a lot more comforting because you're not with some teacher who's scary and gonna give you a bad grade or something. It's not about a grade, it's about actually learning, which is a big flaw in a lot of education systems, in my opinion, which is a totally different topic that we'll probably touch on more in a different podcast episode.
Yeah,
but learning is so focused on grades in school a lot, and I feel like I'm missing learning the actual language, which HelloTalk has helped me do.
Yeah, and an interesting thing, like, about joining clubs, too, for that language is, like, how I got to go to Quebec, even though I don't know French. But we will be getting the chance to go to Costa Rica.
Yes!
I think Costa Rica, they might change it. But somewhere that
it's
going to speak.
Costa Rica.
Yeah, and there we are forced, you know, our teachers want us to speak Spanish while we're there. And I'm very excited about that. It's too bad that that is a Spanish club thing and it's not just something we do in Spanish class.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. But, of course, it's, you know, it's if you have the money and the funds and stuff.
Yeah, and I was talking to some of the students who went this year, because we did not go this year. What were we doing this year? We just didn't. You went to Quebec. I went on a cruise.
Yeah.
To Mexico, so I was kind of... But
yeah,
anyways,
close enough.
They actually had conversations with people in Spanish, and they actually needed the language. And they got out of their comfort zone. They spoke with children who know Spanish, maybe just as well as them, and we're able to communicate with them, which is something that's truly, you only can get it if you go there or you know someone.
Yeah.
And it puts you out of your comfort zone, which HelloTalk also does, but in a more comfortable, like a comfort out of comfort. It's a good balance, I think. So then going to Costa Rica puts you out of your comfort zone, which is what you need for your language. Why is this kid keep riding a bike? There's
stop
too many distractions outside.
No.
Yeah, stop riding your bike.
Go inside and play Fortnite.
Yeah.
Not sponsored.
Yeah. No sponsor. All right.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So I sort of had a final question. Not really, but this is the last question I have on my sheet. Sorry, I don't
questions.
Have a sheet. This is all in my brain.
Of course. We don't plan these out at all.
No, this is...
No.
Okay.
Okay.
tips for others who want to start learning languages. And we kind of sort of touched on this. You know, we've basically been saying the whole time. But this is... Take this chance to summarize. I think definitely to just download every single app you see on the App Store that has to do with that language.
And just try it.
Just go through all of them. Delete the ones you don't like. Make a folder of the ones you do. And try and use each one of them every day or some of them a day.
Mm-hmm.
Keep a streak on Duolingo, man. Get that streak. Try and make a streak to, like, 50 days.
Yeah, like, even if I'm not doing a lot on Duolingo each day, at least I'm doing something. And something is always better than doing nothing. And if you can set your streak to more than 10 XP, I have 30 XP, which I think is the second highest. You can also do 50. 50 is a little much for me in the mornings, but 30 is a good spot for me. So challenge yourself, but also don't expect too much because everyone has their lives. Everyone gets busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my streak is at 30, or my XP is at 30 also, and just want to throw in if you want to add us on Duolingo and compete for weekly amount of XP and monthly and yearly, which, or all time, which Stephanie is beating me quite a lot
It was really intense last summer. I was pretty intense.
Yeah. I gained quite a bit within the past 40 days, though. But anyway, my name is all lowercase Genesee. That is J-E-N-N-A-S-E-A with an extra A at the end. Another A.
And mine is Quargapie. Very strange username. I might want to change it. It's Q-U-A-R-G-A-P-I-E. Capital Q and capital P.
Yes, and if so you find one of us, you'll be able to find the other through who we're following.
Yeah, because who we're friends with, because, yeah, I want to be friends with all y'all, so then so then we can compete, because I like competing with people that I'm familiar with, or that aren't just random strangers, because I swear, some of them are just bots or something.
Yeah, honestly. Well,
I was in the Sapphire League, which is the highest league that you can get onto when I was, like, really persistent about it, and it was day one or something, and the person had like 8,000 XP, and I just don't think it's possible.
Yeah,
or at least 1,000 XP, and by the end of the week they're at 8,000. That's just not possible. So
you have to have no job, no life, no friends, no family.
Yeah, I just
you and your computer.
Also, you're obviously not learning the most effectively if you're just using Duolingo. That's a big thing, is you can't focus on just one program, because if you think you're good at one program, then you're gonna go into another one and you're like shite skis.
Yeah.
There's also another website that I use for German that I can't think of now. But it's, does videos or something. So if I can remember it, maybe I'll mention it eventually, but I don't remember right now. So, yeah, doing different types of learning. Because in English, you're speaking, you're writing, you're reading, you're listening. Those are, like, the main components of every language. You gotta do every single one. And each app focuses, the best apps are the ones that focus on certain areas. So they're not gonna cover everything, because they're good at what they do, not necessarily everything.
Yeah, and I mean, also, if you don't have that sort of technology available, which, I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably do, but if you don't for some reason, there's always books, and a fun way to practice is if you're trying to learn Spanish or French, at least, everything that you can buy most likely has French or Spanish directions or sort of a subtitle type thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, just practice reading that. I mean, you know, you can
just
do the little
best
things.
Yeah. I definitely, and all the things that we've mentioned are free, except for, I think, Mango, but mine's through my public library, certain organizations, by the subscription, so my public library gives that for Mango, so everything I have is free, except for the book I bought.
Yeah, same with me for the books, and actually, I just remembered this when I was talking about seeing things out in everyday life. For learning Japanese, if you're trying to learn some sort of Asian language, they're probably some Asian supermarkets near your house or in a town or something. We have a few around here, and going in there and just trying to read the labels is, like, so much fun, because sometimes I can read them. I might not know what it means, but being able to read it and practice is really cool, and maybe if you are really adventurous and a social person, talking to the person behind the counter.
Especially with Spanish, because everything's, like you said, labeled with French and Spanish subtitles. I can read some of them, or I can read, like, one word in German. It's just those little things that just bring you so much joy, you know? One thing is, to bring you guys more confidence, because obviously we sound like social people talking to a podcast. Every person we've interviewed, we're friends with. Every person, we're talking to each other right now. This isn't the most social thing. So, I'm gonna let you know. Are we social?
No.
I think it depends what we're doing, but we can be social, but it's not, like, our prime motivation is to make as many friends as we want. We have a friend group, you know?
I have my moments where I'm, like, with other people, and we might be in public, and I'm like, wow, I'm gonna be social and crazy, and I'm gonna talk to everyone I see, which, actually, that's not very true. And if I don't like it, then I know, and I didn't, like, move there and take that big leap without knowing, which I'll probably like it, because it's Japan.
All right. I think we should ask, what other language... All right. Do we want to learn more languages after we feel more comfortable in Spanish or in more fluent and comfortable with Japanese, German, Spanish?
Well, personally, I'd always be up to learning new languages, but I wouldn't want to start another until I'm, like, extremely comfortable in...
these two.
Yeah, these two. And I don't know for sure what I'd even want to learn next. So that would definitely be a big decision for me because it's something I'd want to take seriously. Fly just like yeah. or stuff. How about you?
For me, I definitely want to learn more languages. I don't necessarily know which ones yet. I know I definitely want to learn ASL at some point.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
Or even, like, German Sign Language. I don't know what other countries have sign languages. I know they're different, though. But ASL would be towards the top of my list. And if you don't know, that's American Sign Language. I also kind of like Nordic languages, like Finnish or something. I know those are very difficult, but I think they could be interesting. I don't know, I just want to learn more European languages, but I also at some point want to learn a prominent Asian language. So I was thinking, Genesee's having some overall problems over here.
I just keep trying to make it tighter, but it's just getting looser and looser.
She like really messed it up. Okay, so I was thinking either Korean, Chinese, some Mandarin, or Japanese, but I'm not quite sure yet. But I do think that learning more languages is definitely a possibility in my future. But like Jesse said, I want to become more comfortable and confident in the languages I have now, just so I can not forget about these languages and give them the time and importance that they need right now.
Yeah, exactly. And if anyone knows how to make overalls tighter, please let me know.
Yeah.
Because I just failed at this.
All right, is there anything else you have in mind to talk about? Because we have about 13 minutes left in the episode. Oh my god, there's someone banging on the wall and it really bothers me. I hate this. This is why going outside is just such a problem sometimes.
No.
No. Okay, I guess we can talk about... Let's talk about why we're drawn to each culture. So, Japanese culture.
All right. Yeah, that's a good
other
idea.
Other than anime.
Yeah, so...
In kawaii.
I don't know, I just really like the way that their language sounds and looks. I like the way the characters look, and I like how in the kanji there are characters that basically mean things that don't even have meaning in like English. For example, I don't even know the name of it, but some character literally means like the way sunlight looks between trees, which it's just like a very like beautiful language from what I've heard. And also, Japanese culture is just, like, cool. Like, it's just so cool.
Yeah, I think one thing that's interesting, though, jumping off of what you were saying, is the differences in the language is so interesting. Because you think, oh, everything's just a translation of each other. But that's not how it is. These are independent cultures that have grown as an area together to create their own version of language. And, like, you'd think, oh, languages, just everyone started talking the same way when we were, you know, nomadic people. But that's just not how it worked. Everyone developed language, but in totally different areas, which is so intellectually fascinating to me, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like, one thing is that really sticks out to me that's unique to German and Spanish, that's not in English at all, is addressing words with a gender.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not necessarily like, oh, your cheese is masculine. It's not actually masculine. It's just what they call it, which I don't know the reasoning behind that. I think it's all rooted from Latin, so I'd have to do more research into that. But that's something that's super interesting.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
It is weird, but it makes sense in a way. But also, you could argue, what's the purpose? But that's just something... That's fascinating. Like, in German, they have a neuter, like, which is, like, neutral, which just adds another layer of complexity to the language. But it's interesting how each area develops their language so differently.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, in how your region can influence how other languages are. So, like, German is kind of like Dutch, but then Spanish is kind of like... Latin, French, like, they're kind of close, but French is kind of more distant. And then Japanese would be similar to Asian languages, like Mandarin, Korean.
It's, like, it's so interesting, too, how Spanish, French, and Yeah, so, like, they basically use a very similar alphabet. Obviously, Spanish has, like, the tildes and the accents along with French, too.
Yeah, and then in German, they have umlauts, which is, like, two dots.
Oh, right.
I don't even know how to say it. It's, like, umlauts.
Yeah, and then you go over to Asian areas, and you have completely different alphabets and characters that they have to learn. Like, Japan has four different alphabets. Oh my gosh. And they're all different characters. And some, like, the katakana and the hiragana, they look similar, but they're different at the same time. And the katakana was made for English words, so that one isn't, like, a true alphabet, because, like, obviously there's a Japanese way to say hamburger, you know, like a Japanese word, but then if you want to say it in the katakana, it's hambaga.
But then they spell it differently.
Yeah, they spell it with their characters.
Yeah.
But the characters literally would spell out hambaga.
The one thing that's interesting is, I'm not completely accurate on this, I could be totally wrong, but in Mandarin, or at least a Chinese language, they have kind of a different character for each word. And Jimmy, who was on our podcast a few weeks ago, explained that that grammar isn't as important in Chinese, because you kind of just do whatever and it makes sense, which is interesting, versus English, where grammar is pretty important and it's very obscure. Yeah. At least that's what other language people from other countries say, that English grammar doesn't make any sense. But it's so weird thinking that it makes sense to us.
I have an example of someone I was talking to when they, like, I had to correct them because they said something wrong, and I just,
like, Spanish has so many different tenses that we don't have, and I think a lot of people get confused with languages when they're saying, well, why does that happen? And then they give the reason, but the reasoning, it makes sense, but then you're like, but that's not how it is in English. But you have to think of the language as its own entity. Like, if you're making a language from scratch, you could be considering these topics, like certain, like the imperfect versus the preterite, or ser versus a star, which both mean to be, and then the preterite and imperfect are both the past tense.
And por versus para, which both mean for.
But then in English, the distinction, there is no distinction. So it just varies by region on what is important for their language, which is interesting. Did you find your conversation?
Yeah, I did. It's something really simple. I said something wrong in Spanish. Just going to put that out there. And my friend Juan replied to it saying that haven't since. And I was like, that's so, like, it, obviously that means that, like, that doesn't make sense, but I had to correct him. But it's just so strange that that makes sense to me, you know, understanding why they would think that haven't since is right, but it's just so strange because it isn't. It doesn't make sense, but it also is, it doesn't have, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. The one thing was, I was talking to one of my friends. I don't know why we call them friends. We're not actually friends with them people, but they're our little friends, you know? In Spanish, you say, I have age, whereas in English, you say, I am this age. Mm-hmm. So that's one distinction that's, like, and when they're trying to translate into English, they're like, I have 17 years when I did this. But then it makes sense why they would do that, because having age, they make it a possession, which makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But at the same time, you can see in English that it makes a lot of sense to be an age as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of interesting to hear someone use Spanish as their base to translate into English, when usually we're using English as our base to translate into Spanish.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's different. Like he said to you, he's talking about a Flash character, and he said, I love to Cisco, and he just started naming them, like, I love to them, which, again, would make sense in Spanish, because you're, like, it literally means, like, you are, like, loving to these things, but in English, it's just, like, no, you just love them, like,
the one thing is the personal, I don't get that in Spanish, I need to ask someone about that, so if any of you guys listening now, let me know somehow, but that's just a reminder, I need to write that down, so I can remember to ask one of my, did I just end one of my recordings again? Oh my god. Oh my god. Alright, sorry again about that malfunction. I just stopped the audio recording for my microphone again. Because what else am I going to be doing? Just stopping the audio. So as we're wrapping up this episode, I guess, let's talk about, let's convince our listeners why they should want to learn a language.
Learn it. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to want to learn a language if you're not interested in a culture, at least a little bit, but I feel like everyone is interested in a culture, mm-hmm. at least a little. You know, if you watched a TV show that had a Swedish character, like, hey, if you watch PewDiePie,
yeah,
you know, just take any sort of motivation you have and grasp it and hold on to it, because learning a language is very important, because it shows that you're a very well-rounded person and you're considerate and you're smart and you're able to adapt.
Also, a very important thing about language learning is it's opening your mind to a different view of the world. And if you're very narrow-minded and you like being narrow-minded, I'm not going to tell you to change. I'm just going to say
change.
You probably should. I'm going to recommend that you should, but I'm not going to tell you that you should. So, opening your mind to different cultures gives you a bigger perspective on global issues. For example, I think just by knowing Spanish and learning Spanish, like, even if we don't know necessarily about the culture itself, you, at least for me personally, I have more respect for immigrants coming into this country, because,
yeah,
like, I see them as people, whereas I think by not knowing their language, and you can kind of see immigration or people from a different country as aliens or inferior to you, which is kind of how America was started. They thought that Native Americans were inferior, which is,
yeah,
a bad thing to think about. And it happens in a lot of different cultures, so don't just blame, like, Europeans or whatever, or Americans, because that's just not true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
it's a lot of different cultures. Thank you.
It humanizes the people around you, which is, I think, a very important thing to have.
Yeah, especially with, like, there's a lot of, like, Asian sort of racism, you know, people mm-hmm. mocking accents because they believe that all the words sound similar, which, if you actually, like, listened to mm-hmm. a, like, Chinese or Japanese conversation, you'll realize they don't all sound similar. Like,
yeah.
Like, English sounds, like, probably really just like that to someone who doesn't know English.
Exactly. And another thing is, why would you want to look on the, this could be just me confused, but why would you want to look on other people in the world in a negative way? I think a lot of people say they want to be happy, but then they fill themselves up with these negative connotations with people that don't necessarily look like them or talk like them or something.
Yeah, that's very true.
Like, I see the world traveling as a beautiful thing. Like, even if there's danger in some countries and political tensions, that's just how it was here. Like, we had a civil war, so people might not want to come to America or something, but then us thinking about it is like, but it's perfectly safe, you know? It's
yeah.
the same thing for other countries. Just because they speak a different language doesn't mean they're less educated, less human than us, I think.
I agree.
So, that's about wraps up this podcast. I hope you learned something. And Janice, would you like to, you know, take us out of this podcast with a great end
yeah.
transition as she scrolls
yeah.
through the paper?
Sure. Let's see if I actually had something ever,
okay.
written down, because I think we wanted...
I think this was a very good podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it, because I think language is a very important thing to understand, and it's a cultural barrier that is important to break down to better understand and make a better place in the world, because understanding people different than us helps us. Understanding people different than us helps them, just all around a better place.
So yeah, in total, you should definitely learn a language.
Yes.
And use our tips. Okay.
Yeah.
So, this was Genesee.
And Stephanie.
On the WTF is Up with Gen Z podcast. We hope you learned something. We will see you next time. And, as usual, can you follow podcasts on Spotify?
Yes, you can.
All right. Yeah. You know what? Follow us. You should send us an email.
On wherever you listen to your podcast. Spotify, iTunes, send
yes.
us an email.
Our email is
WTFGenZ@gmail.com.
Yeah. And you can check out our social media if you'd like as well.
Which will be in, like, the description or
yes,
something.
Yes, it will. Okay. There's descriptions?
I think.
All right, sweet. There's descriptions.
And if there's not, sorry. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Just obviously send
us an
email.
Watch our next episode.
Yeah, watch our next episode and send us an email. We will see you next time.
All right. See ya.
Bye.